Christianity is not about the church. It's about the one that the church worships. I mean, Christianity is about Jesus. And Jesus is a king, and he has a kingdom. And so Christianity is really about a kingdom. And so there's this kingdom that's being established on earth that reflects this kingdom that exists in heaven. So in the process of moving Christianity forward, heaven comes to earth. The influence of heaven comes to earth. That sounds really, like, theologically complicated. But it really isn't. It's just that we know church better than we know the kingdom. The kingdom of God is what Jesus talked almost exclusively about. He hardly ever talked about the church. But we're kind of fixated on the church because we can see it and feel it and touch it and be part of it. We can come in and out the door of the church, which is kind of a misnomer, because you're the church, so we can't come in and out of the door of you. The church is really you. If the building burnt down tomorrow, which it won't, we'd still be evangel. Because it's not a building. It's us. And so we got this vision to break down dividing walls and invest heavily. So this whole series we're in right now about sowing is a big deal to God. Because what we're doing is we're saying that you've given us a vision, and we so much believe in that vision, is we're going to start to focus on it for a while. And so when we're focused on sowing, we're focused on investing heavily into the next generation of believers, into what God's going to do in the future. So next month, there could be 50 or 60 or 70 or a couple hundred new believers in the city. What are you going to do about that? Well, you don't wait for that to happen. You don't wait for a revival to happen. And so you invest now in that revival. And Jesus talked about that when he was on earth, about the harvest being ripe. What he was saying was invest. Put your energy, your time, your money into investing into the kingdom. So today we're going to talk about sowing peace. Kevin talked a couple weeks ago about sowing money. That was probably the most difficult teaching he could have possibly chosen, which he didn't choose. It just happened to come up. It was all happenstance, which in my mind is the hand of God on Kevin, saying, you will teach about this because you're going to see breakthrough in your own life because you taught. And I believe that he's going to see breakthrough in his own life as far as stewardship goes because he was faithful to do that. He and his wife and his family are going to experience great breakthrough. In fact, we proclaim it today that there's fruit to you teaching, Kevin. There's fruit in your life to you teaching. And some of the things that he talked about were remarkable. I mean, I love the fact that he was talking about sowing seed, which I'll talk about it a little bit too today. What he was saying was, as far as money goes, God gives you seed, and some of that seed is to create bread for you to eat, and some of the seed is to be sown into the kingdom. But you don't eat all your seed. And I thought that was a great way of looking at finances because we tend to think not only do we eat all of our seed, but we eat the seed of someone who lends us the money, lends us seed. You know, we eat everything. We just devour the whole thing. And I love the idea that if we were given seed to be sown, of course some of it, we have to feed our families and stuff, but not all of it's supposed to be eaten. That was really a good balance in the whole thing. Because, I mean, many of you guys have heard teachings on money before. Usually they happen around November in the church. You know, that's when we talk about money in the church. And there's reasons for that. I think it should be. That's why I explain what was going on up here, because it's part of our lives. And it's not like the evil part of our lives that has captivated our hearts. It's just a part of our lives. But it's part of our lives. You don't ignore it. You don't focus on it, but you don't ignore it. And so for Kevin to take that on, that was good. Yeah, baby, you go. Now bless him, Lord. Bless him for being faithful to sow seed. So today we're going to talk about peace. I just have to say up front as a disclaimer, I have a huge investment in this whole topic of peace because my name means God's peace. Jeff means God's peace. I've known that since I first became a believer. And so one of the things, if you pay attention to your name and the names of your children, things like that, you'll find that there's destiny locked in names. And you can release the destiny that's locked in a name. I mean, it's not inadvertent, the names that we pick for our children, the names that Bradbury's are, no, hold it. Is it them? Yeah, they're famous for that. They have a story behind the name of every child that they have. And it had to do with the season they were in and the things they wanted to see God do. It's pretty interesting. Listen to it. And many of you, too, have. We picked, the way we picked the names of our kids is we sat in the room after they were born. None of them had names before they were born. And we thought, Jody and I would sit and talk. I'd sit on the bed. She'd be in beautiful as all get out right after she had a baby. And we'd talk about names. And our goal was to pick a name that people couldn't make fun of in grade school. So that's how we picked our names for our kids is we wanted a name that was simple, straightforward, and that you couldn't screw up too badly. I can never understand people who pick really weird names because it's just setting your kids up for torment, you know. But it happens. That's the whole, well, then we went back and looked at the names and the meanings of those names, and they have worked out in the destiny of our children. So names are a big deal, and I don't know why I'm talking about this. Because I'm supposed to be talking about peace, which is part of my name. So I don't find it difficult to walk into a situation where there's chaos or confusion and just be. I hardly ever feel like I have to fix things, but a lot of times things get fixed. I hardly ever feel like I have to diffuse volatile situations, but a lot of times they get diffused. And I think part of it is just because I carry that in my destiny. That's part of my name, and so I walk in this. So I have a huge investment in peace. I love the whole idea, the fact that we can bring peace into a situation. We don't always have to make it worse. You realize that, don't you? You don't always have to stir the pot and, you know, add more confusion, add more chaos, add more contention, add more anger. We can really diffuse things. And so a lot of times that's what God's called us to do. So there are seeds that you can sow, and I just listed a couple of them. Compassion, righteousness, and hope are some of the seeds that we sow. Sometimes God calls us to have compassion. And compassion is just a reflection of the king's heart. The king has compassion. So when we sow seed into situations, a lot of times that seed it comes from the heart of the king, from Jesus. It comes from the king. We're members of the king's family, and the king has a kingdom. He also has a heart, and he feels deeply for those who dwell in his kingdom. He has a shepherd's heart when it comes to his people. And one of the greatest benefits of Jesus coming to earth is we saw a visible demonstration of what a shepherd looks like. So we know what it looks like for someone to come into the world and bring peace. He also brought tension into the world too. Because a lot of times when you are bringing seeds of peace, when you're sowing seeds of peace, you know what I'm saying when I'm saying sowing, right? It's taking something that's of value and putting it into something, giving it away to something. If we're sowing into the kingdom, then you can go to work tomorrow, and in the midst of a chaotic situation at work, you can walk into the center of it without a real answer to the problem. And if you make yourself available to the Lord, he can breathe life into that situation. He can end confusion there. He can give you answers to the problems there. So you can sow peace wherever you go, into your family, into your workplace, into the church of Jesus Christ. You can sow peace into the church. You can also sow confusion and chaos into the church. I think peace is a pretty good thing to sow. So compassion a lot of times reflects the heart of the king. It says in Psalm 145, the Lord is good to everyone. He shows compassion on all his creation. So there isn't a situation where he holds back his peace and he says, nah, not today, I don't think so. He wants to sow peace into all his creation. He has a huge investment in that compassion that he has there. In Matthew 9, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. Doesn't that sound like somebody who's going to bring peace? They're confused and helpless. They don't know what's going on. They needed a shepherd. And so the shepherd comes in and establishes peace in that atmosphere. He's the great peacemaker. It says that in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. And that's where he says let me just read it. God, who showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we are still sinners. That's God bringing peace. While we are still sinners, he began to bring life into us. He began to give us a way. Christ was sent to die for us while we are still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by death to his son, while we are still his enemies, we'll certainly be saved through the life of his son. I mean, while we were his enemies, he sowed compassion into our lives and gave us a way to move forward. So compassion is one of the, if you grab a handful of seed and it's all about peace, compassion will be part of the seed there. Another portion of the seed is righteousness. Righteousness gets a bad rap because we think, when we think righteousness, we think perfection. Righteousness simply means in right standing with God. There is a perfect vertical, and no matter what happens to this building, that plumb bob's always going to fall straight down. Thank you, gravity. But it also tells us where perfect vertical is. If you do construction, which some of you have done, now they have technology that's replaced this, but that's still used to tell, especially if you're hanging doors and windows and stuff like that, where perfect vertical is. And so righteousness is kind of like that, but it's more than that. It's not just right standing with God, but righteousness reflects the will of the king. So compassion reflects the heart of the king. Righteousness reflects the will of the king. What does the king want of this kingdom? What does the king want? So when we're sowing righteousness, we're sowing the will of the king into a situation. What does God want? What's right and wrong? What's good and bad? What's truth? All those answers to those questions are found in righteousness. And the third thing, I'm going to skip over some of this because you've got it in front of you. Let me just read James 3, though, because it's one of the key scriptures that has to do with righteousness and peacemakers. Anybody want to be a peacemaker? I'll deputize you today. Or in the words of, I'll activate that in you today. I'm going to activate that in you today, that you become a peacemaker. Some of you have maybe never done it before, but you've always wanted to be. Today's going to be the day that gets activated in you. So it says in James 3, the wisdom from above is first of all pure. This is wisdom from above. It's peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. That's just the wisdom. That's wisdom from above. And those who are peacemakers. Now, what does peacemakers have to do with wisdom? Well, peacemakers, wisdom is key to everything. Because you can never really be smart enough or intuitive enough or gentle enough or kind enough or courageous enough to be a peacemaker. You're always depending on wisdom from heaven. It's always dependent on the wisdom that you get from God. So it says, and those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace. Oh, go figure. And reap a harvest of righteousness. So when you plant seeds of peace, when you plant seeds of righteousness, you get a harvest of righteousness. If you plant anger and bitterness and dissension, you're going to get a harvest of those things. If you plant division, you're going to get a harvest of division. This is really, really simple. If you plant this, you'll get that. And a lot of us, we think that it's just our opinions or our opinions. Or our attitude's just my attitude. I mean, that's just the way I am. Actually, it's bigger than that. Well, because we're sowing all the time. We don't even realize it. We're sowing faith into situations. We're sowing, I mean, you could kind of feel it in the room today. Truth was being sown. Faith was being sown. Love was being sown. Focus on the king was being sown. And the fruit of that is that we get closer to God. Not because he's closer to us, but because the veil kind of gets ripped away and we can sense his closeness. It's kind of like there's momentum to it. Could you kind of feel it this morning that built momentum? What was happening was one by one we were believing. One by one we were focusing. One by one we were putting aside the distractions and sensing what was ahead and moving towards that thing. It can happen anytime. I mean, it's marvelous how this whole kingdom of God thing works. So righteousness is another thing, another seed we can sow. Another seed that we can sow is hope. A lot of what Tracy's been working so hard on as far as emergency support shelter is, she feels like we've got a bunch of seeds of hope. We need to sow them over there. A lot of you do. I mean, a lot of you are, you have different focuses. Jeff Beck has a heart to sow hope into the worship community here in the city. I just, every time we get together, I automatically think of all the other churches that are meeting at the same time, and I just want to throw seed out from this place to all of them saying, go for it, you guys. We're all part of the same body. Get as close to God as you can, because if you get closer to him, I'm getting closer to him. We're getting closer to him. So this isn't about a self-contained organization. This is about the bride of Christ that exists in the city, that we all have seed. And I want the seed from Evangel to go to Father's house. I don't want to hold it here. I want it to go over there. We'll fling it from here over there all the time. And a bunch of other churches too. So hope. So what does compassion reveal about the king? His what? Heart. Compassion reveals his heart. Righteousness, when we're sowing righteousness, what does that reveal? His will. Hope reveals his plans, the plans of the king. Isn't that cool? So as we sow seeds of hope, we're sowing the plans of the king into our workplace, the plans of the king into our family, the plans of the king. When we sow hope, we're sowing God's plans into those girls across the street. And they don't even know us. They don't even know God. But we're sowing hope, God's plans into their lives. So that the thing that he designed them to be, the things that he designed them to do, will be there for them. So it says everything here, everything the king says or does is purposeful. Nothing's wasted, nothing frivolous. The future is no surprise to the king, and his actions reflect not only his desire for good, but also his confidence that all things in his kingdom work together for that good. We plant seeds of hope in proportion to our confidence to the king's plans. So if you think that you don't have a destiny in God, or as Dan was encouraging us today, if you don't think you have an identity in God, it's hard to sow hope. Because we sow hope out of the confidence that we get, that we have in God's plans. It's being summoned. We sow hope relative to the confidence we have in God's plans for us too. If you don't think your life is worth anything, or that you don't have any reason for being here, it's hard to sow hope into somebody else. But you are some of the most hope-filled people I know. I mean, most of you are frustrated because you're not walking in your destiny anymore. It's not that you don't know your destiny. It's that you're like, come on, when is this going to start? I want more, Lord. I want to go deeper. I want to see you move powerfully. I want to see the whole room saved, whole room healed. I don't want to see anybody that's not being set free. You know, that's kind of the attitude of a lot of you. So it's kind of I think that you've got a lot of seeds of hope that you can sow. It would be a shame to keep those locked up in a cabinet someplace and never sow them. So this is my encouragement is, so when we talk about sowing seeds of peace, we're talking about in a lot of ways, compassion, righteousness, and hope. So one of the things I put in here is sowing peace, God's bomb squad. I forget what the movie is now, because I went to look at, there's this movie that talks about a bomb squad in Iraq that goes and defuses bombs. Does anybody know what that is? Remember what it was? I can't remember what it is. There was a movie about a bomb squad in Iraq that went into Hurt Locker. Yes, I tried to get a video. I tried to get a video clip of that filthy movie. No, I'm just kidding. I couldn't get all the bad words out of it, so it was useless because it was like. But the whole point of this was, in that movie Hurt Locker, these guys were so courageous that when there was a bomb, instead of going away from it, they would go towards it. When there was something explosive that was really going to be painful and hurtful to a situation, instead of going it away from it, I mean, they were careful about how they approached it, and there was protocol to how they approached it, but these are the guys that went towards the danger instead of away. And you heard that about the firefighters at 9/11. They moved towards the danger instead of away. That was the thing that they were famous for. I think God's people are supposed to be that way. The peacemakers that are God's people are supposed to move towards danger, that we shouldn't shy away from conflict. Season's ripe for it right now, you guys. This is a setup for peacemakers in this world right now. My son called me the other day and he said, I'm watching TV. What do you think? It's a perfect opportunity to move towards it. You can back away from it and go, I don't know, it's crazy people, huh? Or you can walk right into the middle of it and start bringing righteousness, bringing hope, bringing, you know, compassion to a situation. Our nation is really struggling right now. Yay, peacemakers! We got our job, you know, our job description says that we are going to be fine through this whole thing because we are the ones who bring peace into chaos, not necessarily because we have anything to give, but by through the wisdom of the Lord. God's wisdom, we can do that. So we're supposed to be the ones who move towards conflict, not away. And the things that motivate us are right here. It says motivated by love and by faith. The love that we have for God is what motivates us to go into dangerous situations. It's not, trust me, because I've done this so many times, I get in situations where I have to walk into kind of chaotic things. It's not about what you know, and it's not even really about experience. Experience and knowledge don't help you a lot in the midst of situations that are chaotic and volatile situations. What matters mostly is love and faith. Your love that you have, feel for God, the love that you receive from him that goes through you to other people, that's the greatest commodity you have. So a lot of times what you're sowing is love. In the midst of conflict, in the midst of people just kind of losing it and about, you know, if anybody's been married before, you know this can happen. It can get tense. And you walk into a middle of a situation like that because your friends want support and strength and help and courage, and so you walk in the middle of it, and you know, I know the tension you feel because I feel it all the time. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? I don't know what they should do. I don't know how to get through this. I mean, I've been married for a little more than 35 years. I don't know how to fix problems. I don't know how to fix marriages. I don't know how to heal stuff like broken relationships. I mean, what works for one person maybe won't work for another. Where does that leave you? I mean, you can have experience that gives you a little bit of calm in the situation, but we don't have any answers for each other. It all depends on our love from God flowing through us to each other and the faith that we have in him. We're exposed to some really tough stuff. I mean, people are sick. People are struggling in their faith. People are making stupid choices all the time. Is your job description include going in and fixing all those people? If it does, you should be paid more because you must have some answers that I've never had access to. What we're called to do is bring love into a situation, bring faith in God into a situation. I mean, the bottom line for most difficult situation is this. I can tell you the answer that works best for almost everything. That is, no matter what the situation, God is good. If that ever changes, we're in trouble. If he ever becomes anything other than good, we're going down the wrong road. And if ever it becomes about you being good instead of God being good, take cover. Because none of us can handle that kind of scrutiny in life. We need him. We need him flowing through us. We need our belief that he is good, strong. That's what will give us the courage to walk towards danger. And I want to be a person who walks toward danger all the time. One of the things I tell the elders is, you should be able to give a word to evangel anytime. Well, what do you mean? I mean, you don't have to have a word for evangel to give a word to evangel. Because they're overseers. They're here to catch God's heart for this group of people and watch over them and care for them the best they can and be concerned about them. So if you're an elder, I don't want to demonstrate this right now with Kevin because that would freak him out, but I could say, Kevin, come up and give these people a word. And he could literally come up and give them a word. It would only take a second because God is so faithful and so he loves you so much that he'll speak through Kevin and he doesn't even have to know ahead of time what the word is. Sometimes I think we have to have words, you know, 5-10 minutes ahead of time or 2 weeks ahead of time and work through them and fashion them and design them the way that they make the most amount of sense. A lot of times I'll feel not a lot of times, I shouldn't say that. I don't want to over-exaggerate, but sometimes I feel like the Lord wants me to give a word, and he'll say, just go up there and I'll tell you what to say. That's kind of freaky that he would do that, but part of it is, and he doesn't do it as much anymore, but when I was growing in the prophetic, he would do that quite a bit. He'd just say, go up there, I'll tell you what to say. And I'd go up here, and I'd stand here like I knew what I was doing, and okay. And all of a sudden, a word would come, and then a phrase would come, and then a sentence would come, and the next thing I know, I'm communicating his heart. And all it was just opening the door to it. And so a lot of times when the love and faith that we have, love that we have from God and the faith we have in him can compel us to walk into dangerous situations and not be afraid. Because you're never going to have the answers to everything. You're never going to be able to figure out everything ahead of time. So you might as well just go in there knowing that he's going to flow through you and you're going to trust him the whole time. So that's what I mean by going towards danger, not being afraid to move towards it. What do we have to be afraid of? He's the king of the universe and we're his kids. I mean, what are we afraid of? That he's not going to speak? If he doesn't speak, let's just say this worst case scenario, you go up in a situation, you walk into danger, depending on him to speak and he doesn't speak. What's the worst thing that could happen? You be nice. You be kind to somebody. You listen. I mean, the worst that could happen is that you love them in your own strength. Even if he doesn't show up, you still love them. You still have faith in him. It's a win-win situation as far as God goes. He never leaves us and never forsakes us. But he also says, go into those dangerous situations, see what I might do, see what I might give you, see what I might say. I'm always surprised when I say something that sounds intelligent because I think, you did it again, Lord. That's so cool. Keep doing that. Keep doing that, Lord. I really like that. So anyway, changing the environment. When we sow seeds of peace, we're changing the environment. We're shining light, breathing life, and speaking truth. Those are kind of ways that you can encapsulate it. We go into a situation, we shine light in a situation. We breathe life into a situation a lot like the Lord did when in Genesis when it says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and he breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils. And the man became a living person. A lot of times you can go into a dangerous situation, a chaotic situation, you can breathe life and all of a sudden something will begin to happen. I mean, there's nothing greater than sitting down with a couple who's got lots of tension and lots of reason for anxiety with each other and they don't know whether they're still in love or not. They don't know whether their marriage is going to make it and you just sit down and you start breathing life into them. What? Tell me again, why did you get married? I don't want to think about that. I don't want to talk about that. Well, give it a shot. Why did you get married again? What did you see in this person? That's brilliant. That's like right off the counselor's handbook, you know. And they start articulating the thing. They start breathing life into themselves. They start articulating the reason why they got married in the first place. And all of a sudden, you find the atmosphere being changed. Things are being changed. The atmosphere is being changed. Changing the environment. So you can breathe life. Speaking truth is much the same way. I want to just lay this out for you because it's something that I've been thinking about for a while. A while back, someone gave me a video of a teaching by Graham Cook where he was talking about, I don't know what he's talking about, but anyway, he was in Texas and they had this situation where there was a family that was just kind of a mess. They didn't have jobs and they didn't have, you know, they were fighting with each other and bickering and so the leader of the church, this is a church he was speaking at, said, can you come and pray for this house? Can you pray for the people in this house? And so he said yes, and he didn't know what he was going to do, how it was all going to work. But kind of the last minute, the Lord gave him this divine idea of how to minister to these people in this house. And he said, and it must have been a pretty large church because he said, on Saturday, we're going to go to this house. He said this in front of this whole big group of people. On Saturday, we're going to this house. And we're going to pray for these people. And anybody who wants to can go. We're going to go in there, and they're going to prepare the house for us, make it ready for us so we can fit in there. And we're going to go, and for an hour, we're going to pray in the Spirit. Do nothing but pray in the Spirit. Spread out throughout the house, every nook and cranny of the house, and just pray in the Spirit and see what God does. And his whole idea was he was going to try to change the environment in their home. So, like 400 people show up at this house, and they just jam into this house, and there's no room for anything. And these 400 people were instructed, well, they just prayed in tongues for an hour. That's all they did. They just prayed in the Spirit for an hour. And it wasn't orchestrated by anybody. They just got their plot in this home. Well, within days, everybody in the house had jobs. All the people that were sick were healed. They stopped fighting, and it became a place of restored peace and restoration in the house. All they did was go into the house and pray in the Spirit. Plus, everybody who went was to bring $5. And so they left a gift of $2,000 with this family. And I thought, that's just the coolest thing, because all they did was go in and change the environment in this home. And I've had a lot of people over the years say, gosh, pray for my house. It's a chaotic mess. And we had 5 kids when we started the church. I know what that's like, to not have nearly enough room or enough money or enough clothes or enough anything to do what you're doing. And yet, you're in the right place and doing the right thing, but you just need help. How much of a blessing this would have been. So I put this thing called home blessings on the last part of your notes. It's on the very end. I want to start doing this soon. And one of the things Graham Cook said was, you can change the environment in the city if you start and do it house by house. And so I want to start with the homes in our congregation on Saturdays, and we'll just pick a home. Somebody will come to my house. We got any volunteers? It won't be hard. It won't be hard to find a house. Yeah, Marie, you were telling me this. You wanted this a couple weeks ago. And we'll just go to that house and we'll begin to pray that God would change the environment in the home. Not just the environment in the home, but the people's lives and their jobs and the financial blessing upon the home. And I just thought, you know what happened down in Texas when they did this? They started praying for their homes and their congregation. Then people outside the congregation found out and they said, like, how do you get this? I want some of this. And so now it's spread out through the whole area, and people are going out to homes and blessing homes. They're just doing this as a ministry. It's part of their outreach ministry, is home blessings. I'm not in favor of reinventing the wheel. This sounds like a great God idea. So soon you're going to hear about this. We're going to start doing home blessings, and you can sign up for them. But I hope you'll do it, because it's a tangible way to sow seeds of peace into people's homes. That's what you're really doing. You're going with this big bag of seed and you're just sowing peace, sowing fruit that's going to come from the things that you're sowing in there. And a lot of times what homes need most is peace. So let me just touch on this really quickly. In this whole series about sowing, there's a fruit that will come. There's lots of fruit that will come, but I've tried to find some of the fruit that will come when we sow things. So if we sow money, what's the fruit of that, Kevin? Influence, right? Yeah, if we sow money, what we gain, the fruit of sowing that is to get influence. It doesn't mean that we tell people what to do. It means that we have influence, favor in the kingdom. And so that's the whole point of bringing money down here. When they feel like a speaker is speaking the heart of God, what they're doing is sowing into that so that they can gain influence in the same area that's being preached. Is that right? That sound right? No? Do you want to add to that? Change my mind? Fix it? Come on. You. The one that's staring at me, looking at me like, anything? Is there anything you want to add to that? You're sowing, and then you gain benefit from that sowing, right?
Yes, he's correct in that, but but sowing, literally, just because when I heard the Lord right before you even got up, I heard the Lord say, go sow into the atmosphere. Go sow in right now. You want this right now. Go sow. And so I'm digging in my purse thinking I never have cash, and I'm trying desperately to find some money because I want to be able to sow into whatever he's about to release. And
that's why you ran up.
That's why I ran up, was because I knew that it was absolutely now, whatever he's releasing the ability for us to invest in all that he's doing. So what he was releasing was an investment. We were singing a song that was about the atmosphere being changed. We were singing a song that was engaging his heart in atmospheric changes with angels and trumpet sounds and an awakening. And then Sandy got up and she started releasing the word of provision, releasing the provision to do all that you were created to do, and releasing the promises of what the Lord's life looks like by going to Abraham's well. And I was just like, oh my gosh, because last night I literally had said to a group of people, I think it's time to go back to Israel. And so to have the Lord tell me to go, and so before I even knew what was being said, it was like, then the word came and it was like, I knew that I knew I was supposed to have sown into whatever was coming. So there will be fruit from that. There will be provision for that, for a group of people to go and do what they are supposed to do in the future. And it, there will be a connection because of what was spoken here. And so you're sowing not only into physical things like provision, but you're sowing into a people group being touched, a group of people who will move into certain things. For years, the Lord called me to sow. For years and years and years, he called me to sow into Morning Star Ministries as a partner. And he told me to keep sowing until I saw the prophetic training up here take place, and that I would keep sowing into them because they raise up people in the prophetic, and that I would be an investment for Cowlitz County to see that raised up. He did the same thing for House of Prayer. For about 10 years before we had a House of Prayer, I was sowing into the House of Prayer in Kansas City because I was determined that the Lord wanted a House of Prayer here. And so sometimes it's sowing, even if it's a small amount, it's investing in something because you want to see happen in your region. It's not just personal. I mean, a lot of times it's about a release of something in a region that you're saying, I want to tip the bowls of heaven over my region for this to happen.
So you just, you have to know the people around you. Because there's people who have sown that way. There's people, some of you have sown that way. We did a memorial service here a couple weeks ago for Jody's sister, and somebody told me afterwards when they walked through that door over there, the hair in their arms raised, and the person isn't somebody who goes to church. What was that? And I think it's the blessing of just being in here for so long, doing these types of things, sowing into this room, sowing into faith, sowing into prophetic revelation. By the way, tonight is a different Deep Roots. We're going to start out differently anyway. We're going to show a word that was given at Morningstar, which was where Lisa was talking about, just this past Sunday. And the word was released for the whole body of Christ in the nation. And it's so many of the things confirm the things that Lord has told us here over the years. And I just wanted to hear, I wanted you to hear it. So if you can come at 6. I want you to hear it so that we can begin to pray back into that. So we can take the things that have been confirmed about what God said to us and pray back into them and say, more, Lord. Bring fruit from that. More seed being planted, more fruit. And so we're going to do that tonight. And it's all part of this whole idea of sowing into things, sowing into the things that God wants to do. I wrote in here, the true harvest is manifest when those who believe in God live their lives in a way that demonstrates the will of the one they believe in. It's kind of cumbersome, but what's saying is harvest is going to come when we believe that God is not just in our lives, but the will of the one that we have in our lives is being demonstrated. That's why I love going in, the idea of going in and changing the environment in a house. I mean, it may be that the people can't find work. It may be that they're suffering with chronic illness. It may be that there's just depression and discouragement and even suicide that's been contemplated in that house. But don't you think it makes sense to go in and just change the atmosphere in the whole home and not try to fix all these people and their problems? Because if we change the atmosphere in the home, they have to live in that home every day, every hour of every day. They have to live in blessing. Bummer, huh? They got to live in this new environment of hope and faith. It almost makes you feel sorry for them because all the things that they've been doing, they can't do anymore because the atmosphere has changed. I mean, like, how do you be depressed in an atmosphere that's full of hope? So it's kind of a subversive kind of way to infiltrate homes in Jesus' name and align them with the will of God. Yeah. One home at a time. But let's change the whole city. What happens when people are calling in saying, how do I get on this list? I've heard about these things happen. How do I get on this list? I think that probably things will change in the city as well. And it's not like I'm trying to promote us, but there's some changes that need to happen in our homes. Let's get started. I mean, we saw the atmosphere in the room change today. That was pretty cool. I want to see the atmosphere in the city change. And then the region, and see the atmosphere in the United States change in our nation. Amen. So let's stand up. I want to activate you as peacemakers. I realize some of you don't want this. You can refuse it. You don't have to be a peacemaker. There's a job opening. God has immediate full-time openings for peacemakers. He's looking for people who are receptive, good-natured, and supportive. They're not judgmental. And they're non-judgmental and accepting, willing to care for and be concerned about others, able to relax and have a good time knowing that most people will enjoy their company. This is the job description. They have the ability to see many different sides of an issue and be good mediators and facilitators. They're not afraid to get their hands dirty, but are people who often find themselves walking towards conflict instead of away from it. They are courageous people, not intimidated by anger, hatred, or disarray. Peacemakers have a specific goal in mind and do everything they can to achieve that goal. All their efforts go into manifesting God's love in every situation. That's what peacemakers do. So I just want to release this. I want to release this over your lives that you can be a peacemaker. You can be someone who sows peace. Whether you've ever done it before or you've done it a little bit and want more, or you are actively involved and daily doing this kind of peacemaker work in your life, I just pray today that it would be activated, that your heart and your faith would be activated, that you'd be willing to walk towards dangerous situations, that you'd be willing to speak words that aren't yours but are God's because of the love that you have for him and the faith that you have in him. I pray for a release over your lives, that you be people who will bring peace into situation, that you'll get nauseated when there's division in the room, when there's division in the atmosphere, when there's contention or strife. It will just sicken your stomach because you know that there's peace available to solve these situations. Bring peace. I deputize you to bring peace into situations everywhere you go, that you would be a peacemaker, that you would sow peace liberally, you'd sow peace with faith, and you'd sow peace in every situation that you go into. In the same way that these home blessings work, where you just go in and pray in the Spirit, it isn't about what we know, it's about who we know. I know the peacemaker, so being a peacemaker myself is not that difficult because I know the peacemaker personally. So Lord, release it in us, release it over us, and let the atmosphere, the environment in this city change because we're bringing peace in Jesus' name. So let it be written. So let it be done. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day.